Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 79, Episode 5 of Turn Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News!
Wow!
It's Friday, April 26, 2019. It's the season finale. My name's Jack O'Brien, NBAKA, Nikola Dad Djokovic, Greg Popovich, Russell Textbook, a.k.a. Damian Wilner. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi Main.
I'm sure that means a lot to someone.
I was going to say, perfectly tuned to the room. Yes.
And I'm
thrilled to be joined by special guest co-host, first face on Mount Zeitmoor, first place in your heart, taller than you thought she was, smaller than your average Zamboni, because she's Lil Zam, Miss Jamie Loftus!
Okay, no, I just sent you bugs. A bug is a type of encrypted love from me. Jamie on the Daily Zeitgeist, yo, we flex, let's ride, because I just hacked a Zamboni, and that's it.
That's amazing.
That was so good.
So much. That's at just TDZ, a.k.a. Of course.
Bugs like the computer bugs because you're a hacker.
A bug's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're a hacker that codes.
I'm a hacker that codes. If you don't know, that's fine.
If you don't know, that's fine.
That's totally fine.
As Biggie said, if you don't know, that is fine.
That'd be funny if there were just chiller edits of his music.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the wonderful Joel Monique.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Y'all are so cute.
Oh,
I don't know if your listeners know, but in person, adorable.
Oh,
thank you.
You're adorable in person, too.
Yeah. It's truly a very cute room right now.
Joel, how are you?
So good.
So good, so good.
So good. I saw the last Avengers movie, which was amazing. My roommate's mom is in town. She's way chill. I love getting high with parents. It's like my favorite pastime.
Yeah.
Let me introduce you to the good stuff.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been great.
And are you introducing them to like good weed for the first time? Like,
yeah,
the...
I think so. She's from Ohio, so yeah. I'm not trusting anything she's getting. Right. I was like, let me amp you up slowly. Let's start with some like light edibles, and we'll just work our way up to like some Skywalker OG, and it'll be good.
Wow.
Yeah. Skywalker OG.
Lucky mom.
Gotta watch out for that stuff, I always say. Well, Joelle, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to take our listener. Oh, I should say, off the top, Miles is just out for a couple days. He'll be back. Don't read anything into the fact that I was out yesterday and now Miles is out. We can be in the same room. We are still really good friends.
Guys. Everyone, you can check my Twitter feed for all the official conspiracy theories. There are some cheating. You know, there's a lot going on. I just want to be here for you as your Perez to let you know what the real tea is.
Yeah, Miles is cheating on me. But
well, that's a likely story,
right?
You know?
But I was gone yesterday. Miles talked about how I was on the hunt for some really dope 88 Birkenstocks, and as you guys can see, I copped them. And I mean, my feet are hideous, but still,
you'd never know in those gorgeous stocks.
All right, we are going to get into what we're talking about today. First of all, we're going to say just fuck Brexit because Will may be cheating on Kate. We're going to talk about Joe Biden joining the race and, you know, the fact that he's a front runner and why the fuck.
And why would that be? And why?
We are going to talk about whether Trump's fall in the approval ratings from the Mueller report is over. We're going to talk about whether Netflix is killing America's sex drive, which is a story that you see frequently, the fact that this new technology is killing America's sex drive. Netflix is not a new technology, I know.
What if sex was just boring?
Right, exactly.
Why can't it just be that?
Well, I do think that that is, well, we'll get into it, but I do think that people used to have sex out of boredom, and we're just less bored.
We have better options.
It's a really solid theory.
There's so many things I can think of I want to do more than fuck ever. Well, I guess we'll unpack it.
Right. We're going to talk about a woman who woke up after 27 years in a coma.
Oh, God.
And then at the end, we are going to talk James Bond news and get Joelle's official take on Avengers Endgame. I don't know if there will be spoilers. We'll see, and we'll warn you if there will be. But first, Joelle, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Yeah, I recently downloaded every single episode of every podcast on Game of Thrones that is reputable. I'm sure there are thousands of Game of Thrones podcasts, but Vanity Fair came out with a list. It's really good. There's a lot of repeats of who hosts, but their shows are all very different wildly. I've watched Game of Thrones from the beginning. I've read almost every Wikipedia page. I've never read the books. I tried to read the first chapter. It's really long and there are so many names. I just don't care. it's just really hard to read the books, but my God, the show, amazing. And I was like, I must be missing things. And when you get book knowledge in and trying to piece the last threads together, it becomes really fascinating to try to see who's going to end up where and who's going to die next week. And so, yeah, my Game of Thrones obsession has kicked truly into high gear. It's a problem.
Yeah. So you said before we started recording that you are researching for a death pool because, you know, this is the Battle of Winterfell is coming this coming weekend.
Yeah.
So this is the episode where people think a lot of our fan favorites are going to die.
Yes.
And so you said you're involved in a death pool. Who is your money on?
Okay. So Brienne's story wrapped up so beautifully last episode by finally getting knighted.
And the show really
likes to like hit us at the knees. However, there are plenty of times I thought Sam was going to die for similar reasons where I'm like, oh, he learned he like could be a maester and now he's out in the forest and he betrayed his, you know, his code of ethics for the to be a knight of the wall. And so now maybe he'll die because the gods are angry. But they weren't. He's still kicking. He's still rising. So
yeah,
it's hard to say for sure. I think if I was an actual betting person, I would say Brienne's dead. I would say that little girl who was supposed to remind us of Shireen. She gone. She was like, I'm going to defend the wall for my cousin, or because my brothers were warriors, and now they're gone, so I'm going to do it. And yeah, she's gone. Liana Mormont, the adorable girl who is also a fierce warrior and like a great like leader of her people, gone, dead. That's going to suck. I'm not ready for it.
Yeah, they just kind of skipped over her real quick. She was like, I am going to fight. It's like, that was not enough story for you to not be about to die.
And my biggest like guess is that I think once the fighting is done, Daenerys is going to try to stab Jon or something.
Oh, yeah.
That look of betrayal on her face at the end of the last episode was just like, I got to kill somebody else now. Like, I wasn't prepared to do it, but I will kill all my lovers if it means I'm going to get to this throne. She
I think Daenerys is going to die this season. This being the last season, what a prediction. But, I think it might have something to do with her dragons.
Cersei's going to be Queen of the Ashes, and I cannot wait. It's going to be so good.
Here's my question. Uh-huh. Do the dragons talk?
No.
Well, then I'm
they
not going to
watch. They do rap, though. They do rap.
They do. Okay, yeah. Well, if they sing, I'll watch it.
They have very communicative eyes, though. They're saying a lot.
Yeah. The thing with Sam, who I've said from the start, Arya and Sam are the two people I just don't want to die, but I think Sam might have fucked himself last week by bragging about how like he never gets killed because he has survived a lot of shit, but it's been mostly via just luck. And so I don't know if Game of Thrones believes in like fate and luck. So it'll be interesting to see. But he was like, what are you talking about? Go down in the crypt. I'm a badass. He was like, okay.
You guys need me
up here. Kind of stumbled
Sam,
your way
take
through.
It down a notch. Although they might need him in the crypt.
Yeah.
How did Jon forget that what the Night King does is raise dead people?
That
I just don't
is
understand.
The question.
he saw an entire island get back up. That's
I
not
know.
Okay.
Yeah. My question to that is, won't the bodies be so badly decomposed that they won't be able to do anything?
How many bodies are down there? How decomposed are they? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That is the question.
Someone's like, Ned's going to get up and like stab Jon. It's like, Ned was decapitated and his bones boiled. There ain't nothing to get up. That's done.
Who else is in the kind of lead other than Brienne in the death pools?
Other than the kids, I would say Grey Worm probably. He and Missandei had that like dope kiss at the end where you were like, and they made plans for the future, which I was like, death, it's coming for you.
Yeah.
never make plans.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Also, Arya being very eager. It wins. Okay, so like, one of the Stark kids could die. Like, what would be more devastating to the fan base, but then to lose one of the Stark kids now after all of this?
Yeah. Jaime.
Yeah, Jaime could definitely die.
Because he's fighting for Brienne.
But I just don't think it's going to happen.
Jaime.
Story-wise, I don't think so, though, because we don't have a conclusion with him and Cersei yet, and I'm not done with the two of them. I need a final boof.
A final boof.
Yeah.
The thing we're all looking for in this life.
One last one.
You always think it's the final boof, but it never is.
The one thing that's making me think Arya might not die is because she was so sure it would be her first and final boof. But it did not end up being that because she was... People who are like certain they're going to die, like Jon, they probably
won't die. I don't
want to
take the damn crown, Jon.
Right.
It's
just
yours.
Fucking put it on. God damn it. All right. And also, I want to say, underrated way of researching things, just search it in the podcast app, whatever podcast app you like, and just listening to random podcasts, there's usually some good shit about whatever you're trying to find out about.
Very true.
Absolutely.
People interview experts all the time on these here podcasts. What is something you think is overrated?
Anybody else who decides to run for president.
Okay.
Overrated. Stop
Besides
it.
Biden, who you're in favor of.
Wait, except for, did Abrams ever officially announce? She said she was running for something, and then Stacey.
She has not announced.
Yeah, unless Stacey Abrams decides to run, everybody else
That's
is overrated.
Fine.
Everybody
yeah.
else can
everybody
shut
else,
the fuck up.
Stop it. We're done.
So Biden announced, and we'll get into him a little bit more later on, but he is the 20th candidate in the race for 2020. There seems to be some good symmetry there. I do feel like that is a good, okay, this is it. Like, no more.
We're done.
Right.
Yeah.
Except, like, less Stacey Abrams wants to run, in which case, help us, save us as a people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this seemed like inevitable for so long that I was almost relieved when it was just finally announced. I mean, the only bigger relief would be if he decided not to run, but that didn't seem likely. Mm-hmm. Ugh, I love when someone old just has to give it one last shot at the expense of everyone's mental health.
It's the plot of a lot of movies. Pull me in one last run.
Yeah, but in those movies, it's made to look like a noble thing to do. Not ego-driven.
Right. Well, he needs to save America from the Nazis.
Oh, he had so many opportunities to do that previously, and you didn't. Sit down.
I mean, listen, I love a Joe Biden savage moments reel, but does not a president make.
Is there a good Joe Biden savage moments reel?
Well, there's like a million, as a scholar of savage moments reels on YouTube. Joe Biden, I mean, he's got so many gaffes. There's a feature length savage moments reel of him saying fuck. And we love that about him.
What is something you think is underrated?
Fandom in general. I see like a lot of people like clown on both Game of Thrones and Avengers fandoms and just being like, ugh, are you guys really crying at this? Like, have you seen the world? Like, shut up. Like, don't talk to me. Don't, like, if you, there's such a great power in fandom to not just bring people together, but for people to see certain aspects of their stories never told, and then to watch superhero, like, there are just so many great moments in both fandoms where you just, I don't know. My fandoms, okay, so Game of Thrones, like, every Sunday, my college friends and I have gotten together since we started college 2008.
We've been
on this ride every Sunday for Game of Thrones. We've done the rewatches together. We have like group chats based around it. Like, it's a thing that keeps us, as we drift and start doing our own things and having families or whatever, it keeps us grounded and together. And I think that's beautiful. And the same thing can be said for like Avenger, or really the entire spectrum of comic book love and fandom. And like, I understand that there are elements of it that are toxic. I understand that it's not for everybody. Some people are like, I don't know what's happening in the 20th movie, and I've seen all the others. It's so, there's so many things. Right. I get it, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but for those of us who like love it and jive on it and connect for it, it is a truly grounding, almost church-like experience that doesn't require me to, you know, believe in anything really other than like, let's just watch these stories and talk about them. And I think there's something really beautiful and peaceful about it. And I wish people would stop hating on it. It's frustrating.
I feel like it's, and it's like the sort of thing where there's like certain franchises that like with my family, no matter where we're at, if like, even if we're at each other's fucking throats, like we would go to see the Harry Potter movie, you know, like we would go to, just because that's what you do. It's a moment to lay down your weapons and watch some rich people fight.
Yes.
That's you don't bring your weapons into the Harry Potter movies?
There was a situation in my in my hometown movie theater where someone got stabbed in the foot during School of Rock.
Wait a minute, what?
It was crazy.
That's such a left turn.
At School of Rock, not even a franchise, what's the point? But there was, it was just like, in my hometown, there was like, the movie theater was on thin ice for whatever reason, but then like the whole incident at School of Rock, that was the final straw, movie theater shut down. It was wild.
Stabbed with a knife?
This would have been, and the story, I mean, I'm remembering this from being like 10 at the time, but as I recall, it was that, because we were like going to a screening right after, and then it got canceled because there was too much blood at the School of Rock theater, but I guess that someone put their foot up on the seat behind someone who had a knife with them.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was an act of rage, and they got, you know,
stabbed in
the foot. Everyone was fine in the end, but you know, don't put your feet on someone's seat or you're gonna get your foot stabbed.
Were you in a small town? Was this like a small town theater?
No, this was just like a southern Massachusetts, like it just happens.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of the theater being on thin ice, like the community was mad and they were like, you know what? That's it. This is not a safe space. Because I come from a small town. I came from a town of like 19,000.
Oh, wow.
And so our theater had moments like that where people were like, what movies are you showing? Inappropriate for the children. No, we don't like it.
Misbehaving. Shut it down.
But then the theater was going to be shut down, but then Jamie and her friends did a dance routine that saved the community theater. And
we started our own School of
Rock.
Raised
money.
And did it. Yeah. School of Rock, man, that movie holds up. I love that movie.
Oh, I haven't seen it since it first came out.
It's a classic.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
3 hours is not too long for a movie.
All right.
Hot take.
I love an epic. Like, listen, Amadeus, amazing movie. What is it? Oh my gosh. Brad Pitt movie where he goes to Thailand.
Oh, Meet Joe Plack? Is that what?
No, but also, that is also valuable long. Film worth 3 hours of your time.
One not of their most film, valuable.
But Brad Pitt does a Jamaican accent for, and it's so terrible and so good.
Yeah, see I it. Just discovered that or rediscovered it.
Oh, so you watched the car crash?
I had always seen the car crash and always thought that was the limits of what Meet Joe Black had to offer
first
me.
First 10 minutes, baby.
Yeah. I just remember that it came on two VHSs, which you were like, oh, this is going to be a journey.
Right.
Epic.
Yeah.
Two VHSs. That is, there are those movies that, Titanic was two VHSs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom would only let me watch the first tape of Titanic and be like, great movie, right? Like, yeah. We just wouldn't watch the part where they died.
Really?
Yeah. Real revisionist.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You talked about that.
Where does the Titanic first, sinking.
Where does the first VHS end?
The VHS ends when they hit the iceberg.
They hit the iceberg.
Yeah, right. It ends.
What a cliffhanger.
It ends with, you know, the part where the captain turns and says, Mr. Murdoch, I think you may get your headlines.
Yes!
And then it ends. And then my mom would be like, good night.
So she really owned the captain there. Oh, I mean, captain really owned him.
You get the sex scene, you get the sketch. Like, you do get most of the good scenes in the movie. In the
you just
first
don't
half.
Get that guy hitting the propeller and
oh my god,
plinkoing
the flipping yeah. guy.
Yeah,
you get a lot of Billy Zane hairpiece service.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of good 3-hour movies. I feel like The Godfathers were on two different yeah. movies. The God's Father. And you said that Endgame, every minute feels earned.
Yeah, I tried to think afterwards about where I would cut or what scene. And I'm sure upon like a second and third review, I might be able to find some things. But initially, I couldn't tell you like where to leave to take a bathroom break. I couldn't tell you like... What poor, like, you know, hop up. No, every moment I would be like, well, something's going to happen in a few minutes. It's kind of vital to the end of this film.
Right. All right, guys, let's get on to important news. Is Will cheating on Kate?
Yes.
Okay.
Jamie, you wrote this headline as fuck Brexit. Is Will cheating on Kate?
Okay. There's a lot. There's already like some attempts, I think, from within the royal family to spin this. William is on... some sort of press tour right now to like draw attention away. I'm just going to share a thread from a writer I really like, Nicole Cliff.
Yes, Nicole.
Who has really thought this story all the way through. So basically, of course, you know, Prince William, he's from a cursed family, which I love. I love a cursed family. And, you know, like all he has to do is not cheat on his wife to break the curse, right? Turns out he cheated on his wife. Here is the story. Okay, so I'm quoting Nicole Cliff here. So last week, The Sun ran a very odd piece about how Kate and Wills had broken up with their couple best friends, the Cholmondeleys.
Oh, boy.
It's pronounced Chumley.
Really?
That is wild. Yeah, it looks like a 5-syllable name, but it's a 2-syllable name. The piece included the phrase rural rival, which was the only indication that there was a real story here. The Chumleys are Rose, a former model, and Rose's husband, much older, very rich, very appropriate to be friends with the Cambridges. Wills and Kate flipped, and The Sun got one of those more serious warnings. There's no story here. Back the fuck off.
Hmm.
As the story begins to spool out, and we were talking about it before, it's been mostly on U.S. media to cover this story because U.K. media needs to stay in the good graces of the palace or they can't cover anything anymore.
Oh, interesting.
So they send out the little tea-dumping weasels to get the story for them. So that Will was caught having an actual affair with Rose and Kate severed the social connection with more verve than is her usual style. Giles Corran tweeted and deleted how impish that the affair had been common news for months if you were a fancy person.
Huh.
The source for the story is widely supposed to be Rose running her mouth about it to her friends. So basically, like, William is cheating on Kate with one of their friends who's married to some old guy.
Right. Which seems to be how rich people... like role based on
that's the... literally how my parents' marriage ended, and they didn't have they have $4. You just don't
wait,
fuck
they
each other's
cheated
friends.
On each other's friend with each other's friends.
My well, I'm really putting him on blast right, right now.
Yeah, you
it
don't
was
have
in 1994,
to,
but yeah, just like people just like fuck each other's friends, and then you know you have unhappy children.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
The the Jeff Bezos thing was like he was sleeping with that dude's wife while he was like staying at their house, like as a friend of the
God.
Yeah, it was very, I don't know, shady. And then like they were at a party together, him and his new girlfriend with the ex-husband, and like they were like photographed together just being like, hey, we're rich, we don't care.
It's just, I don't know. So that's the prevalent theory. It seems to be like increasingly well sourced. It's really hard for UK reporters to report on it. There's another, much like the Bezos scandal, I think, just from the few pictures I've seen, that Rose and Kate look so similar that it's like, why do this?
He has a type.
Just like Bezos, the woman he cheated on his wife with was a doppelganger, like a dead ringer for his wife.
Oh, really?
It's not about the women. It's about the numbers and the younger and the better. I personally think like a psychopathic need to conquer and be like, I got your wife, haha. And be like, in the end, it didn't really matter because I didn't value her as a person anyway. You basically stole my trophy and we're going to make more money tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
They're
the worst.
The main question is, are we all doomed to become our parents?
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or...
I mean, he literally looks like he was doomed by some manner of curse to become his father. Because there was like a point where he was considered very handsome. And then like it just flipped and he turned into like it was like he morphed into his father, like that scene in Thriller where Michael Jackson becomes a werewolf. It was just like his ears started growing out and like his hair started falling out. It was very sudden.
I mean, it happened like right around the time he started to assume more of his responsibilities, mm-hmm. Which is probably when, according to Nicole and some of the others that are reporting on this, like he's been cheating on her since they first got together. This was kind of always his like.
Wait, is that part of the responsibilities?
With this?
No.
He's like, and now you must cheat.
After Charles, yeah, it just sort of became part of the job.
Right. I just feel like this is so much more of a betrayal for, because people follow the royal family. You don't really serve any other purpose than to sort of be cannon fodder / entertainment for like citizens, right? So, like, your dad, when you cheat on your mom, there was, like, some, like, he married Camilla. Like, the one he was cheating with, like, he was in love. And, like, the crown wouldn't let you be with the person you wanted to be with. You had to marry, like, the right person.
Right.
Dope. We scrapped all that now. You could just marry pretty much whoever. Like, mm-hmm. They're pretty cool with it. Just, like, talk to us. We'll get the media trained. We'll cut off whatever their former resources were. And we'll let them, like, be in the palace. It's fine. So if you didn't really want this girl, you could have just left her alone. We like Kate now. We've grown accustomed to her.
Exactly.
She's like cute. She's your high school sweetheart. So for him to just be like, I don't really care. I'm going to thrust you into the spotlight and then destroy you. Because even though no one's going to blame him, it's definitely going to be her fault. It's kind of bullshit and it's frustrating.
I do. I mean, it's like every time a story like this comes up, there's always like the edgelords who dive into your mentions and are like, who cares?
Right.
They don't. It's like I've been trying to, where I think with the 2016 election, I got too sucked in. And I think a lot of people got too sucked into like politics as drama and like viewing it as like, these are my stories and not like going to affect everyone I know.
Right.
So now I cling to the royal family.
Right. Because they legitimately don't matter.
They like literally nothing they do matters.
Right.
And it's where I can get that hit.
Yeah.
I don't care what they think about a damn thing. I just want to know who's having sex with who. I want my stories.
Yeah.
This is a great development in my stories.
And it's not just gossip magazines, guys. Scientists, specifically
scientists?
Body language scientists, are thinking that there's a frostiness has entered their sort of physical relations
to one another. It's not just that they're British.
It's not just that they're British, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's as good as done as far as I'm concerned.
Wild.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with less important news.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And we're back, and so is Biden, baby. Third time running for president.
Hot jams, yes.
That would have been amazing if he came out like that high energy, like a sleeveless shirt.
It would have been better because, you know, now he doesn't look so old. Right factor back.
Yeah, I mean, he was specifically and immediately called out by President Trump as Sleepy Joe Biden.
Damn it, Trump, no!
One of his less good burns.
Right. Well, because he's always
a dwarf.
He always calls people sleepy. Like he called Chuck Todd Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd, which is a more specific and accurate
Trump
takedown.
Has no business talking about anyone's eyes. How dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. Although Biden's eyes are like little coin slots. but anyways. Joe Biden has entered the race with an 8-point lead over Trump. And, you know, I think he's got like a 6-point lead over Bernie in polls. And then they both have like a 10 to 15 point lead over the rest of the field. So it's Bernie.
Battle
and Biden,
of the white hairs.
Battle of the whites.
Who's being polled? Right. I have questions. Yeah.
It's supposedly
guys,
likely.
Can we talk to them?
So,
stop.
Yes, these are not scientific. There does seem to be a consistent polling of Biden and Bernie out in front of the crowd. But there was a shocking poll 2 weeks ago that had Bernie ahead of Biden, now Biden ahead of Bernie. But it does seem like, and it might just be name recognition because he was the vice president and, you know, people are nostalgic, especially people who aren't voting for Trump are nostalgic for, you know, 4 years ago.
Just, yeah, the Obama administration
right.
in general.
Yeah. But I think there's this additional thing with racism and sexism disguised behind the word of electability. And we've kind of briefly touched on it. But now that, you know, the top four candidates in the field seem to be white guys with like Beto, Bernie, Biden, and Buttigieg, all B's for some reason. It just seems like
the B boys. No,
B boys.
No, I didn't
so
say it. I take
cool.
it back. I hope they dance.
But
and then drop out of the race.
Oh, I thought you were quoting Faith Hill.
I was going to say two Faith Hill song.
But you hope they do like a B-boy dance.
I hope that they do a B-boy dance.
Yes.
That I would tune into. Mm-hmm. I would click.
And it would also make them way less popular. So
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Beto O'Rourke tries to break dance at some point. He is lawless.
Skateboard falls off the skateboard but goes directly into a break dance.
Yeah, yeah. He like hops from a skateboard onto a Lime scooter, does a little flip, and then starts to break dance.
See Bart Simpson.
Hello, yeah. Fellow kids. Yeah.
But so a 538 article came out that was talking about electability being like people are ranking it like likely Democratic or just undecided voters are ranking electability as very important, like a very important factor when deciding on a candidate. But the problem is like everybody has their own definition of electability. And I think people are being heavily influenced by just 2016 and the fact that Hillary was now people, the media is like, she wasn't electable, which Donald Trump was.
Crazy bullshit. She won. I just don't understand how you'd be like, she wasn't electable, but she had like 3 million more votes. So she was electable. Right. Our electoral system is just broken.
Right.
Like, we're talking about two completely different
things.
She
was electable and arguably elected in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, it relies on the casual voter's ability to sniff out who the rest of the people in the country are going to vote for,
right.
Which, so it's not just a personal bias, it adds into the calculation the average voter's sense of what other people's personal biases are, mm-hmm. which is how like Hollywood managed to like hold people of color and women out of the industry for so long and, you know, continue to. But
no
like
one will those... see their movies.
Right. So right. Nobody else is like, going to see them.
There's it just feels like gaslighting.
Yeah.
There's just like, no one will vote for them. No one wants to see them, blah, blah, blah. And then when you do, like, they win in movies, in
I mean,
elections.
Even before we knew the consequences of this, like when Obama was first running, like, is the world ready for a black president? I'm like, well, there have been many black presidents all over the world. We just haven't had anyone here yet. It'll happen.
Right.
Like, you would just let it.
And even the way that, like, question is constantly phrased is, like, conditioning you to feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not saying, like, you know, it's like, are we ready? Like, I feel like that just implies like hesitance and like you should think twice.
Or that there's an appropriate time for these things to happen. Like,
right.
It's not time yet. Like, hold on and just wait and we'll get around to you women. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
But so they looked at, there were a couple polls that asked who your first choice was out of the Democratic field and then who you thought has the best chance to like see who, like what people's judgment of electability was. And the only people who came out ahead were Joe Biden and Beto O'Rourke. And then Bernie Sanders was like a minus 0.5, but Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren were like minus 5%, minus 3% when it came to like people liking them as their first choice, but thinking they didn't have the best chance. And Pete Buttigieg also had a big bias against his electability. So
right. I mean, it's I hate that we have to talk about this now. It's
right.
So it's but you know, like as things stand, it sucks that I mean, and there's been so many editorial pieces to this end of just like how the numbers are already reflecting that like qualified women are just not going to be held up
right.
to the same degree that. Like, I mean, feel however you like about Mayor Pete, but like he doesn't have the experience that that Harris or Warren has. And yet he's polling above them, like way
right.
above them.
Right.
And, you know, it's just I don't know. It's discouraging. And I don't know. Someone else talk.
Yeah. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is really like the epitome of this because she has put out all of these policies that if you just like ask people to take a blind taste test, like it seems like they're all really well thought out.
Right.
When people hear the details of them, people are like, oh, yeah, that's actually really smart.
They have
holy
financial
shit.
Backing
they have
and
financial,
plans.
Exactly.
What?
And she is just not picking up any traction because I think people just associate her with Hillary, and people are right. like, oh, she's not electable.
I heard a theory that her campaign is waiting, like holding back until the American people are more ready to vote. Like, this is such a far out. I feel like many of these candidates are going to be so burned out by the time we get down to right. like November mm-hmm. that it might be a smart play for her to just be like, smart people, here are my ideas. You guys be my voice. Tell your friends. Get excited about it. Fight for me on a ground level. And then when we're ready to go into press and it's actually time to start thinking about who you're actually going to vote for, then she'll like unroll her, you know, maybe more polished, zany approach. I don't know.
Right. Like her. She's gonna drop the viral video.
Exactly. She'll do her cute little spots with the kids and, you know, maybe a cute karaoke thing or something.
She'll hire Tim and Eric to do some spots. Like, <they'll> be, who's getting that promo? They're like, Warren is releasing policies, and right. that is so much more than most candidates can say.
Exactly.
And that to me just like, I mean, and it is so early, and it's not to say that the other candidates won't release policies, but the fact that she has them locked and loaded, like, indicates preparation, indicates like that this is well thought out, and it's not just like, you know, I think I should be president.
Right.
And then you like backwards engineer from there. I mean, there's still candidates out there saying like, you know, policy, that's like the little stuff. It's like, no, that's literally everything.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. And Bernie is the other candidate who's releasing policies, but right. he's not seeing any of this unelectable stuff like backlash because he's a socialist from Vermont who would be the oldest person ever elected president. So why would he be deemed unelectable? Right.
What about him is unusual?
Right. Yeah.
I'm all for people running with policies. I mean, any candidate is going to have an ego that is freaky. That is just like kind of the nature of running for office, is you have to have some sort of, but like, you know, do your fucking homework.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Dumb. all right, let's talk. We can skip over the Mueller report. I mean, the more takes and analyses of the Mueller report I hear, the more people are like, oh, it is like more damning than all the reporting thought it was going to be. It's mm-hmm. like really bad. The Russia collusion thing, he clearly benefited from Russia interfering in the election. They interfered more than we all realized they did. And he clearly committed obstruction of justice. And his approval rating started falling last week when the report first came out, but they've now like hit a bottom and bounced back up, and the fall was not very long. So it seems like, I don't know, I had a moment of hope that this was going to be like Nixon. When you think back on Nixon and Watergate, there was a long period that people kind of leave out of the history of that, where America was like, oh, we don't care about Watergate. Like, get over it. That's just Democrats being sore losers. Right. And then people finally got it when, like, I think it was televised intelligence congressional testimony that, like, turned everybody. And suddenly he went from, like, you know, 50% approval to, like, 15% approval. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if this was going to be that. And my update is, it is not. Our country is not that anymore.
Do you think that will be like a permanent thing though? Like, you think there's no chance? Yeah.
Yeah, I think if this doesn't do it, like, it is the most clearly unpatriotic, like, just violating everything that Republicans and conservatives claim to stand for. So if this right. doesn't deflate his approval, it seems impossible that anything else could.
I think the way that story is reported on was very interesting. And it's like, I think Mueller, you know, Mueller did all the due diligence that he had to do to report right. it cleanly and honestly. But like, if I asked my family at home, like, they're liberal and they think that the Mueller report, you know, like, failed to some extent because it didn't do what people were hoping, people who are not pro-Trump were hoping it would do. And so I feel like there are the nuances of the report, like, are so revealing and say, you know, like, make it pretty clear that a lot of fuckery has gone on and has been going on, but it didn't accomplish the goal everyone was hoping for. And so I feel like it ended up, it just, I don't know, the way it was reported on, there is so much nuance available. But if you're like an everyday news consumer, I feel like it might seem like the report just didn't do what it was supposed to. And so why continue learning about it?
I think we also don't know a lot about the steps and ways in which the Mueller report can have action,
right?
How it can be used actionably. And because we are, a lot of people don't feel involved or invested in their government on a local level or even on a national level, it's confusing. Like, until they're like, oh, and now we're going into trials, you know, people don't get excited or understand kind of what's happening. And so, yeah, right. I definitely see the same thing of people being like, well, it didn't really do much. Like, you know, it didn't make it. There's no trial happening. Our Congress doesn't seem to be like up in arms about it.
Yeah. So. Right. Yeah.
I mean, maybe Mueller's testimony will make it plain when they're like, if he wasn't president, would you charge him with obstruction of justice?
Yeah.
You know, maybe like something that's that much more visual and like TV friendly, like, yes, somehow more TV friendly than a 400 something page report. I don't know how you do that, but.
Yeah, people don't want a book. Right. No one wants to read a book.
I think you're right, though, that it, because like, so the smart take on like a lot of like political podcasts and like on like Nate Silver and this national security podcast I listen to because I'm a fun time.
Ooh.
like everyone was like, the Barr framing or attempt to spin the report failed, but it only failed with like people who are really paying close attention. With a lot of people, I think you're right that
I think a lot of people don't know who Barr is.
Right.
Like,
and they're just like, the no collusion thing came out first. So they're just like, yeah, there was no collusion and that's it. Like,
yeah.
He like got out in front of it and it has successfully framed it, even if when you're paying attention, it's clear that it makes him look like a blatant liar.
The weird thing is, it's like I completely like respect the way that Mueller reported it. It seems like everything was done responsibly, but there's just like it's so nuanced, and the way people consume news is, especially now, like so completely unnuanced,
right?
That it's like, unless there's some sort of event involved, and you know, like whether that be Watergate hearings or like the Kavanaugh hearings, like that's an event and everyone is, Jesus, you know, Christ. There's participation and it's very dark,
right.
But people, at least, you know, if the Kavanaugh thing was published in a book form,
right,
who the fuck would know about it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rats. Foiled again.
Somebody needs to get on TV and scream red-faced.
Everyone,
at somebody.
Stop writing books. No one's going to read a book.
I think we just need better PR people. I mean,
yeah.
All accounts report that Trump wasn't even expecting to win. It was just like a great PR stunt for me and my company. And it'll just get a lot of eyes on me. And then he's like, oh, crap, I'm like president now. I honestly think he just keeps winning by mistake. Like, I really just feel like he's like, well, I just know how to put a positive spin on things that'll get my base to just solidify.
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't really have that. We're all like, no, but like policy and rules. And somebody's like, you can't be a cheater by just playing by the rules. Like, if the rules don't matter to them at all, like, how are we possibly going to compete with that? And I don't think the answer is to not play by the rules yourself. I think it's just to outdo their game. And he's just really, really good at making sure his base knows like where he stands and what they should believe. And they're not interested in researching beyond that.
He's truly like the world's best shit poster.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
he really is.
Dems don't know how to shit post. It's very uncanny valley.
He is the best at being a dumb person.
Yes.
In the world. He's just speaks dumb person and is a dumb person, but does it in a very effective
Makes
way.
Makes it look effortless.
Right.
It's true.
Somehow. All right, real quick. Is Netflix killing America's sex drive?
No.
No. Okay, good. That's all. No,
right along.
There was a story that got a lot of coverage because it just has the right combination of words, Netflix and sex, basically. But it was that because people are watching so much streaming on Netflix and their programming is so good, that that Netflix is to blame for the low, you know, rate of sex in America, because that's something that like sociologists and people who study American lives have been, you know, puzzling over, because it gets a lot of headlines. The question of why Americans today are having less sex than they did in decades past, and were also having fewer kids.
There's just like no reason to be horny in this country right now. There's so few reasons to be horny.
Women are just like, time's up on all of it. All the dicks away, please.
Yeah.
I do not want them.
That's such an interesting, well, I mean, I guess it's not a surprising culprit because it's an easy culprit to just be like, yeah, people aren't fucking because they're watching TV. But you're like,
TV's been around for 50 years. It's been running on a 24-hour cycle for, gosh, near 40 years now. It's been long. If we look at 50, closer to 60 or 70 years now. And we've had 24-hour TV since like the mid-80s, since we had our cable came out.
Yeah.
So, no, we're all fine. Netflix programming can be good. I'm not going to call it so great at stopping people from intercourse. That's just weird.
I've never let an episode of Grace and Frankie stop me.
Grace and Frankie wants you to have good sex.
Yeah. Grace and Frankie, if anything, Grace and Frankie is a very horny show.
It gets you in the mood.
I make my own charcuterie board at my house, watch Grace and Frankie.
They taught me all about sex toys for the elderly, and I didn't know, and now I'm informed.
I love it.
Aware.
I love that show.
This is viral marketing for Grace and Frankie, just so everyone's aware. But two things that made me question the study. One is that the scientist behind it is the same scientist who a couple months ago was talking about how Generation Z is like headed for the worst mental health like crisis ever because of social media. So she seems to be like one of those people who is like, the sky is falling because of the latest technology. And that's generally a bad bet. If you look through history, this is one of those things that gets written out of history, but there's always, always, always a freak out about new technology. You know, there were
great horror movies.
Yeah. There were freak outs about written music when they started writing music. They were like, now everybody's going to be able to steal my sonnets and steal my symphonies. And they were like really pissy about that. So like just any sort of media or technology is going to freak people out. I feel like corporations and people who are trying to addict us to like little Skinner boxes are like better at reaching us now than they ever have been. I just think it's weird to call out Netflix because that is the one medium that we like do together with as couples a lot of the time. So it's like, why would that be the one keeping us? Like, I think a lot of like mobile games and social media on mobile phone, like our phones are definitely like solitary devices, like Netflix and, you know, what TV shows we watch.
There's an entire phrase around getting it on and watching Netflix. Like, it seems like a weird place to start the attack.
Yeah.
Wait, what is it?
Netflix and chill.
That's what that means? yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. It's all, who the fuck knows why people are having less sex.
Whatever. Sex is boring. Done.
Sex is boring.
Moving on.
Yeah. That is my main conclusion. Sex is not as good as the stuff we have now, and it's boring, and that's why people used to have so much of it.
Guaranteed satisfaction out of the things you
know. Yeah. I'm like, there are some things I know deliver more consistently.
So. There you go. All right. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back, and the Avengers Endgame is upon us, and we're thrilled to have someone with us, Joelle, who has seen it. Yes. You are also just an expert on all things kind of nerdy, nerd culture. And yeah, the thing that was being covered yesterday, I guess, is that people were like telling people when to take bathroom breaks during the movie. Mm-hmm. And that was the way people found an excuse to have an Avengers headline.
What we have to write or we die. Yeah. Please read our articles.
What are your overall, your thoughts are?
Yeah. Okay. So
without spoilers. Yeah. We're not doing spoilers.
Without
way,
spoilers. No spoilers. I promise. I will say as a fan of Marvel, obviously came in with some really high expectations, left feeling pretty satisfied, have a couple of questions of how is that possible? but nothing I don't think the fandom won't be able to clear up for me in like 3 hours on Sunday morning. Yeah. I feel like Sunday morning I'm going to be on the Twitters and they're going to be spelling out for me like, no, when this happened, you know how that, okay, and then I'll be clear.
Is it that Thor's hammer? Like, how is that possible?
It's nothing.
it's nothing powers magical. Related.
No. Yeah. I've suspended disbelief as much as I need to. We're not going into anything like that.
Right.
I can't talk about it because what I love about the movie, and I'll tell people who've watched the trailers, who've been like looking at it, a lot of people are like, they're going to tell the whole movie. Like, they keep releasing new trailers. You still have nothing, anything past the first 25 minutes of the movie.
Oh,
you
wow.
have no idea what's happening. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I could have guessed based off what I've seen that brought me to the outcome or even to what happens at Mark 30. Like, nothing. I will say that the deaths feel earned. You won't feel like slapped or punched in the gut by anything.
Okay.
You know, there are 3 moments that comic book fans, if you are a Marvel fan and you liked what they've been doing but have had some questions about what they've been doing lately, you're going to lose your mind because they bring it into the movie, but they update it in such a way that says, we heard you and we want you to still feel included. And I won't tell you what those moments are, but I used a whole pack of tissues. I used an entire pack of tissues.
Oh,
they were
wow.
beautiful, really great peak moments for me. One in particular got in my, maybe half my audience stood up. It was amazing. Score is still there. Storyline is great. It is super fun. I will say if you are a Game of Thrones fan and you watched last week's episode, it's written very similarly. It's much more of a character-driven story than Infinity War, which is all about, like, battles, and we're seeing all these people fight together or against each other for the first time. That's really cool. This is all about, like, where have these characters come after 22 films? What do their stories mean now that they are together and they're all aware of each other? what does it mean to be a team and how are they going to continue to fight as a team, particularly looking post-Civil War.
Mm. Yeah. So does Spider-Man lose his virginity before because he knows he's about to...
Are the webs come?
Right. It's still a Disney movie.
Yeah, this is a big weekend with the Battle for Winterfell and Endgame. Like a lot of people are going to lose a lot of people.
It's going to be emotional.
A lot of characters.
It could be a landmark week for Twitter. If you're a Twitter person, I live there. I'm really looking forward to the discourse and the conversation and all that, Jeffs.
I just read the whole plot, and I truly can make heads or tails of it.
Yeah,
I just spoiled the whole movie for myself. I was like, well, sounds great.
I will say that, too. I've talked to a couple people who have seen all of the movies and walked out of this like, wait, what happened? It is for the fans. So grandma might come out with a lot of questions, just be prepared to answer them or fake them as best you can.
Okay.
We just released an episode of the Bechdel cast about the first Avengers.
The first Avengers. So you're caught up to that point.
That is the one I've seen. And it does, I mean, it's always encouraging when it seems like the franchise is listening to fans. I feel like that never happens.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, Marvel, Disney care a lot about what you guys think, as evidence of Star Wars. Mm-hmm.
Maybe too much.
Maybe. I'm looking forward to their Disney Plus TV series where I think they'll be able to care a little less and be more like, these are the auteurs and we're just letting them do what they want to do.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that'll be interesting. The point you were just making about Twitter being where you live and you're looking forward to it. Just a detail from that sex article that I thought was interesting, or it was a
Jack
reaction to the sex
article.
Sorry, back to the sex article. Guys. Somebody wrote an entire book reviewing the evidence that technology may be amplifying our intelligence, our productivity, and our ambient awareness of each other's worlds. And you just never hear that. Nobody's ever like, actually, smartphones are good for you. Like, Twitter is good. It makes you more aware of other people and what they thought about stuff.
I've been working on a theory about people keep saying like, oh, neighborhoods have died. And I don't know any of my neighbors.
Right.
I can place them by face, but I don't know their names or their stories. But I have entire online communities where I know very detailed information about people's lives or their work lives. Or I just feel like we've replaced the, I don't need to go to my next door neighbor. I have an entire community online I can go connect with if I need. You know, we've helped each other through like financial and medical scares, through deaths, depression and anxiety are talked about a lot. I think that there's a lot of value that hasn't been explored in those communities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's
just new kinds of neighborhoods.
Right.
It's nice.
And knowing your neighbors, overrated.
I agree.
Because sometimes they suck. And then you are stuck living in direct vicinity of
them.
I'm
friends with one of my neighbors.
Yeah.
Because she works with Haley Joel Osment. And so I'll just text her and be like, what's he doing? That's my only neighbor relationship.
The best
I have.
Neighbor relationship I've ever heard about. I just need updates on Haley Joel Osment.
Other than
okay?
that, you don't
Is
need to know
loved?
Anything about me. I don't need to know anything about you. Just like, what's he up to? Is he okay?
I love him and his little sister. Adorable humans.
Oh, what a dynasty.
You know, he was discovered at a park. Like, he wasn't even a child actor. He was just some creep booking agent.
Every child star discovery sounds like, oh, that was almost a crime. Yeah. Like, I was just at the mall by myself and I saw this kid and I was like, I'd watch that kid. You're like, no!
Right.
Like, what is going on?
He was five at a park and somebody walked up to his mom and was like, your kid needs to be in this Pizza Hut commercial. And she was like, all right. And then the next thing he was in was Forrest Gump.
Oops.
But Avengers Endgame is spoiler. Sorry.
Haley Joel Osment
in Forrest Gump. Yeah.
Major Avengers spoiler.
He's actually Thanos.
I forgot that the Russo brothers directed You, Me, and Dupree.
Hell yes.
I wish that was in like the trailer for all the Avengers movies from the team that brought You, Me, and Dupree.
Yeah, but Avengers Endgame sitting at a 78 on Metacritic, which okay. is a highly respectable score. Oh, and also, speaking of entire packs of tissues, Miles on yesterday's episode mentioned a new Netflix sketch comedy show called I Think You Should Leave.
Tim Robbins. Yeah, it's so good.
I watched it on my flight back from my hot Birkenstock get and was laughing so hard that I would like people on the flight thought I was weeping because I was like trying to keep it quiet. And I also had like a really like bad runny nose from like laughing so hard. I've never
it's
had
so
that before.
Funny.
It made me laugh so hard, but people should check that out if they.
It makes me so like, I love that Netflix is finally being like, no, you know what? We should like make shows that are a little bit shorter. And
yeah.
like that is like such a good move. Oh, it's so good.
That's also
What's
another
show
thing.
Special?
Yeah.
12 to 15 minute episodes. And I love that they're adapting the like YouTube format of short form.
Right.
It's really interesting.
It like it works. Like they're giving everyone a blank check is like how you get the last seasons of Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just get a miss.
Yeah. All right. There's James Bond news, everyone.
da-da-da.
Cool.
I didn't even see the last James Bond.
I have.
Can you believe it?
I've seen one. I feel like I don't know shit about shit.
Yeah.
Last James Bond was not so hot.
Wasn't it?
No, because it kind of backed into the first one that Daniel Craig did, but you were just like, oh, we already did this, and I'm kind of bored.
Right.
The best part was like the Mexico scene. Like everything that happened in Mexico was beautifully shot and like fun action. And then after that, you're like, I don't care anymore.
Right.
Is this the last one with Daniel Craig?
Well, the last one was the
last one
with Daniel Craig.
We're getting a new Bond.
So they're announcing the new Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But the last one was supposed to be the last one with Daniel mm-hmm. Craig. And then they were like, we're going to make it so all of your great grandchildren can go to whatever college they want to. Will you just please come back and be James Bond?
He is a like, great yeah. James Bond, which
he
I think is
good.
What's been frustrating about the last film is like, you have an excellent Bond here. Like, let's do something cool. Bring me a dope villain.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when it was controversial that he was the new Bond because he had blonde hair?
People did not think he was sexy enough to play a Bond. And
what? Like,
until they saw the Speedo
swimsuit
scene.
The swimsuit made a believer out of me. I was like, I don't see it for this Daniel Craig person. I don't know who he is. I've never seen anything he's done.
Right.
I'm not here for it. We had just come off the Madonna era of James Bond, which was
oh my God.
So bad. I thought maybe the franchise
the die
is
another
dead.
Day, yeah.
Bury it. Let it rest. It's okay. And then Casino Royale came out, and I was like, damn, this is fire.
Yeah, it was really good. But the fact that a blonde James Bond was a controversy is like seems like a very particular moment in history that will never be in again, like a moment of innocence where
we can
it's
only
like
hope.
Right. Shit. Well, so the update on the last James Bond featuring that particular blonde man is that Rami Malek is in it as a
Da-na.
Villain, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Da-na.
Yes.
Will he wear a hoodie? Yes or no?
That would be.
I hope he's a tech billionaire, evil genius.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. I wonder if he's going to do weird stuff with his mouth.
Remy's
up. Definitely going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, now, I mean, at this point, lean in, baby.
Yeah.
People got eyes on the Malik mouth. Let them look.
Was that a big thing after the Oscars?
I don't know. I heard it a couple of times.
Okay.
And then everyone made fun of his like fake teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's been a lot of press around the Malik mouth.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
And also, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is punching up the movie, the script, which
Great.
Is pretty dope.
It's gonna be amazing.
Joelle,
yeah,
it has been so fun having you.
It was really wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you?
Yes, go on the Twitters or the Instagrams everywhere at Joelle Monique. On Instagram, there's an underscore between the two names. It doesn't matter. You can find me either way. I'm going to be over at the Blumhouse Podcast Queer Wool for at least the next month.
Amazing.
Join. I'm so excited. I love those guys. It's a podcast I listen to regularly anyway. It's super funny. I know first up, we have one of the producers of Family Guy. And we're going to be talking about Rosemary's Baby. yes, which I got to watch twice this week. And I was like, God, this movie is amazing. How did Roman Polanski make this movie? So many questions.
It's
but hopefully
the most
we
complicated
answer them.
Thing. Yeah.
It is. It's very complicated.
It's complicated
so
thing.
Feminist by that guy. Weird. You can also find me Sorry, Recap Madness. It's a podcast I do with my friends where we recap seasons of shows. It's weird. Sometimes we jump in the middle. Sometimes it's the first season, but we're just looking at one season where we encapsulate it. The last one we did was Fox's new show, The Passage. We did all of season one. It is a weird, wild, amazing show with a terrible cliffhanger. It will never be renewed. you have to watch it. It's so weird. Yeah, that's where you guys can find me.
Those what places. Passage is it Love referring it. To?
The She's turned into a vampire and maybe in the, okay, I'm just going to spoil it. In the last 5 minutes of the final season.
Oh, is this the one starring Zach Morris?
Yes. Yeah. The sexiest guy. I thought he was white forever. He's not. I was like, this is such a turn on. But in the last episode, they jump forward 97 years in the future. Everyone's the same age. It makes no sense. I have no idea how it happened or what's going on. Yeah, that's the last 5 minutes.
Oh, because they're vampires.
I want to watch it.
Are they or are they? It's a very confusing and weird show, but it's so great. And I do love Zach, but bring back Pitch Disney. That's
you said he's not white?
No, his mother is, I don't remember off the top of my head, but he's definitely not white. His mom, he's half white, half Asian, but I don't remember specifically from what country. Yes, he's gorgeous.
All right. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
I'm going to just give my girl, Clarkish Kent, a shout out. Everything she does is fabulous, but particularly if you like salty Game of Thrones tweets, she retweets slash creates some of the best Game of Thrones stuff. Follow her like the night of. She'll usually wait until after the Pacific airing because she's considerate like that. But then go get your laugh on because I don't know if there's a fandom better. I love you, Game of Thrones people.
Right on. Jamie, where can people find you?
Hi, you can find me on twitter.com at Jamie Loftus Help or on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. I've got some tour dates. Can I say them?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
So I got I'm going to be out with the Bechdel cast next week. We're going to be we're going to be in New York at the Bell House this coming Sunday, April 28th. We're going to be covering 13 going on 30 with one of my favorite poets in the entire world, my friend Melissa Lozada Oliva. So that'll be really fun. Then we're going to be in Philadelphia at Good Good Comedy Theater on Tuesday, April 30th, doing Toy Story. And then I'll also be doing my solo show, Boss Whom Is Girl,
right
before that.
You're lucky, Philadelphia.
Yeah, double whammy. Then we're going to be in D.C. on May 1st doing 13 going on 30. Then at the Women in Comedy Festival in Boston on May 2nd doing Toy Story with Sadie, the front woman of one of my favorite bands, Speedy Ortiz. And then I'll be doing Boss Whom Is Girl in Brooklyn at Union Hall on May 9th.
Damn, girl.
Yeah. And all then right. If you live in Scotland, I'll be at Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh, you will?
Summer. Yeah, I just found out this morning.
Oh, good. Congratulations. So,
hot Loftus updates.
That's great.
Pew.
Pew. I hear that's a lot of fun. That'll be so cool.
I'm really excited.
Will you be doing Boss Whom Is Girl?
I will be doing Boss Whom Is Girl every night for like 25 nights.
You're going to find some new element in that character.
I certainly hope so. Otherwise, I won't be very bored.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
I'm looking for this thread that matches up Cardi B outfits with philosophical texts.
What?
I can't find. I have faved it for later, and now I can't. Come back to me because I want to give the right handle, but it's like it is an extensive thread where it's just outfits that match covers of philosophy books.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Amazing. Dayton tweeted, my favorite childhood memory is my back not hurting. Sean Baby tweeted a scan of a like Superman comic with Lois Lane falling like on the outside of a building, like falling off a building, and it says, I'm falling to my death, and it's her thought, and it says, I'm falling to my death, and still no sign of Superman, who always used to rescue me in the nick of time, sob, Superman has forsaken me. And Sean Baby said, these are the final thoughts of every single person who dies in Metropolis, and in his heart, Superman knows it. And then an actual human, Rob from online, tweeted, mechanic, you use subpar fuel, which corroded your injectors and intake manifold. Me, English, bro. Mechanic, low-quality gas damaged your engine. Me, dumb it down for me, Kimosabi. Mechanic, bad go-go juice make your vroom-vroom machine all fucky. Me, oh no.
That's so great.
I love Twitter. Did you find your...
No!
Ah, shit.
I'm too stupid.
All right. Well, you can send it to me over the weekend, and I will share it with everybody on Monday.
Okay.
And you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Super producer Anna Hosnier is back from a trip overseas. Apparently not looking for Birkenstock sandals. I'm not sure what she was thinking, but she is going to give us a recommendación.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Now, what if that was me now? that's funny is I bought Birkenstocks in Germany because they're cheaper there, but I didn't get the sandals. I got the like the covered foot part.
Yes.
Because I need some comfy shoes to walk my dog at night. Anyway, okay. I am going to recommend a song by Nau, who is an amazing artist. She's really great. I recently discovered her because all my gay friends keep posting videos of her concerts. And I'm just like, oh, shit. If they know what's up, then I gotta know what's up. So, yeah, this song is called Another Lifetime by Nau, who it's spelled N-A-O, and I highly recommend it. It's so good. You cry with me, ladies and men. Menies and ladies, cry with me.
I found the thread.
Woo!
The thread is from Mo Torres.
M-O-T-O-R-R-E-S?
M-O-T-O-R-R-E-S-X.
Nice.
And we are going to ride out on Nau, N-A-O. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend, you guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring... The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.